Welcome to Redmond Radio. I'm your host, Michael Domingo, editor of mcpmag.com and redmondmag.com, and I thank you for listening. Here's what we'll cover in this episode for the week of March 17th. March Patch Tuesday features office fixes. Bill Gates makes case for raising number of H-1B visas. Convergence Conference highlights Microsoft's SaaS efforts. Before we head to the first Redmond Radio News segment, let's take a quick break and listen to the sponsor message from Citrix.
Virtualization is one of the most talked about technologies in recent history. You know the benefits already, but are your servers virtualized yet? Are you waiting because of the cost and complexity? There's no need to wait. Citrix Zen Server is the simple, low-cost way to get up and running now. In as little as 10 minutes, your servers can be virtualized. So download a free copy of Citrix Zen Server now. Just go to www.citrix.com/zenserver. That's www.citrix.com/xenserver and get your 10 minutes to Zen.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio, the weekly podcast roundup of Microsoft news and other IT happenings. As usual, I would love to thank my listeners first. It's because of your continual downloads that this show continues. And that means we'll continue to give away Redmond t-shirts to listeners in our weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. On with the news. Here's what made headlines over at redmondmag.com. Last week, we previewed the patches that Microsoft rolled out from the previous Patch Tuesday preview. Microsoft kept to its schedule and rolled out four critical security bulletins, all with as many as 12 remote code execution vulnerabilities. All of the fixes applied to various pieces of the Office suite, including one that affected Office Web Components 2000. In addition to its monthly update of its Windows malicious software removal tool, Redmond rolled out two non-security high-priority updates on Microsoft Update and Windows Server Update services, as well as three non-security high-priority updates for Windows on Windows Update and WSUS. Even with that patch, Microsoft has yet to fix a Windows Home Server bug that's corrupting some users' data. Microsoft says to expect a fix in June. The problem occurs when certain programs are used to edit or transfer files that are stored on a Windows Home Server-based computer that has more than one hard drive. The problem was first acknowledged by Redmond late last year. The Windows Home Server team announced the timeline for the patch on its blog last week and said it affects a very small number of users. According to a Knowledge Base article, data can get corrupted when the home server's mini-filter driver redirects shared folders on multiple drives, causing sync problems between Memory Manager, NTFS, and Cache Manager. To avoid the bug, Microsoft suggests using read-only settings for shared folders, not using Windows Media Player or other media management programs to import files, and not using applications to open files stored on shared folders. Court papers suggest that Microsoft's change of heart earlier this year to open up Windows Vista virtualization licensing may have been influenced by litigation. According to a federal court document dated March 7, 2008, the change appears to be driven at least in part due to legal pressure from BIOS maker Phoenix Technologies. Phoenix had complained that the terms of Microsoft's end-user agreement for the lower-cost versions of Windows Vista would impede the running of those OS versions on Phoenix's virtualization software. Moreover, Phoenix complained that the EULA would deter OEMs from adding its software to new PCs. Microsoft first disclosed to the public that it had opened up home versions of Vista to virtualization on January 21st. That move came just months after Microsoft had publicly flip-flopped on whether or not to open it up. Sun Microsystems and Microsoft are working together to develop a set of guidelines for implementing Exchange Server 2007 on Sun server and storage hardware. Billed as Sun's infrastructure solution for Exchange, the guidelines allow scalable implementations for 1,000 to 20,000 mailboxes. The Sun infrastructure solution for Exchange marks the first official collaborative effort to emerge from the Sun Microsoft Interoperability Center, which officially opened up on the Microsoft campus last week. The center has been in development for 3 years, ever since Sun and Microsoft buried the competitive hatchet. Microsoft last week announced its intent to acquire Kidaro, a provider of enterprise desktop virtualization software. Kidaro's desktop virtualization platform currently works with both VMware and Microsoft solutions. The company also offers software like Desktop DR for disaster recovery, self-cleaning security package VDNA, and Kidaro To Go, a USB-based based desktop virtualization. According to the announcement, Kadaro's technology will be incorporated into Microsoft's desktop optimization pack for software assurance. Nortel and Microsoft jointly announced four new unified communications products designed to help bring together enterprise voice, data, email, and other systems. The products are part of the company's Innovative Communications Alliance, which now offers 10 products jointly developed by both companies, according to the announcement. And that's it for the news so far. We have a couple more items to cover, so we'll have that in another segment. Let's take a break right here on Redmond Radio.
Eu vou pra Oslo, pra sair no Oslo Dum. Bloco Asfro, da terra do bacalhau. Que todo ano cai a neve ou faça sol. Vai pra de carnaval. Eu vou pra Oslo, pra sair no Oslo do
Bloco. Welcome back from that quick break, and thanks for listening to Redmond Radio. Just a note before we continue, if you work for a Microsoft partner company, check out the Redmond Channel Partner Salary Survey that's being conducted on rcpaymag.com right now. Also, if you're interested in virtualization issues, be sure to check out virtualizationreview.com. headed by our own esteemed colleague, Keith Ward, who blogs there daily. Let's finish up the Microsoft news with some stuff from last week's Convergence conference in Orlando. Ease of use was a big emphasis on stage at Convergence 2008, with Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer noting the Microsoft Office-like interface of Dynamics products in his keynote address. At the Orlando event, Microsoft demonstrated a preview of Dynamics AX 2009, which is scheduled to release in the first half of this year. The event was also the forum for announcing closer ties with EDS. Microsoft and EDS are planning joint development and marketing efforts around Microsoft Dynamics CRM, targeting mid-market call centers and enterprises. Microsoft's software plus services strategy was also highlighted. Dynamics products are slated to become available to customers in three forms: on-premises installed, partner-hosted, or Microsoft-hosted. An announcement was issued by Microsoft that also mentioned that a hybrid approach was possible. Dynamics CRM Live, the hosted version, is planned for the spring of 2008, when Microsoft's announcement said it would be broadly accessible. The solution will be managed from secure Microsoft data centers, according to an announcement. Microsoft also announced initial services that can be used to extend its CRM and ERP applications. One of those offerings will be a payment service to detect credit card fraud using PayPal and Chase Payment Tech Solutions technologies. There will also be a marketplace service enabling integration with eBay. A third service will help keep track of marketing campaigns. For more details about the event, check out Lee Pender's blog on rcpmag.com. CNET reported last week that Microsoft and Yahoo are now talking, at least informally, about the merger. CNET reporter Don Kawamoto cites an unnamed source for that information. According to the report, by keeping the talks at an informal level, the conversations do not have to be reported publicly. However, that also means that they most likely haven't gotten very far. The source also said that while Microsoft is frustrated about the pace of the process, it's in it for the long haul. Both companies declined to comment about the CNET report. Microsoft last week revealed to developers the expected next steps in the software development kit for the Office OpenXML file format specification. Available as a community technology preview since June 2007, the OOXML SDK provides tooling and resources for programmatic manipulation and handling of XML files produced by the 2007 versions of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. According to Doug Mayhew, Microsoft's Senior Product Manager for Office Client Interoperability, a mature beta version of the OOXML SDK will be released in April. The month after that, developers can expect the final shipping version of the 1.0 version of the kit. And in our final item from Redmond, in testimony before the Committee on Science and Technology at the United States House of Representatives last week, Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates implored Congress and the President to act decisively to ensure the country maintain its global leadership position in technology innovation. Gates' testimony focused on three key themes: education, research, and immigration. Gates said the U.S. faces a crippling shortfall in scientists and engineers that the private sector alone can't solve the problem. He said the legislature must follow through on the America Competes Act of 2007. That act contains provisions for training new teachers in STEM subjects and to provide additional resources to science, technology, engineering, and teachers through the National Science Foundation. Gates cited low graduation rates, particularly among underrepresented groups, along with a low level of college preparedness as two troubling factors in education impacting students. He said that fewer than 40% of graduating high school students are prepared to enter college without taking remedial courses in material they should have learned in high school. Gates also used the opportunity to bring up some controversy, particularly in arguing about raising the number of H-1B visas. He argued that arbitrary caps are hurting America's ability to compete technologically, and elimination of per-country limits will help ease that crisis. Finally, Gates also argued for increased federal research spending, at the same time also raising the idea of reenacting and making permanent the R&D tax credit that expired last year. And that's finally the news emanating from the Redmond campus. Next up on Redmond Radio, we'll cover some other noteworthy news items. That's right here after this break, right here on Redmond Radio. Again, for listening to Redmond Radio. If you enjoy listening to this program and staying informed with what's happening in IT, please pass this show around to your colleagues. Before we finish up with the rest of the podcast news, here's an update regarding what's online on the Redmond Media Group websites. In Redmond Magazine in March, a look at some of the scenarios that may result from Microsoft buying Yahoo. In Redmond Channel Partner, how partners might make a software as a service play, plus a look at Microsoft's licensing strategies. And finally, a reminder to listen all the way to the end of the podcast for details on how to enter our weekly Redmond t-shirt giveaway. Now let's check out some newsworthy IT items from last week. Enterprise solution provider Software AG announced its Web Methods Application Modernization Suite, software designed to bring service-oriented architecture technology and other improvements to standard mainframe infrastructures. The suite, which is based on Software AG's business infrastructure solutions, is offered in several versions. A web edition that features Web Methods AppLinux component for low-risk, non-invasive web enablement, and a SQL version that offers real-time SQL-based access to relational and non-relational data sources. There's also a high-end SOA edition that offers service enablement, governance, and deployment of mainframe assets within an enterprise-scale SOA. From SOA, we go to SaaS, where according to a report by Access Market International Partners, SaaS use among small to medium-sized businesses is on the rise. AMI, which surveyed various small businesses in 2007, found that 21% of small businesses and 31% of medium businesses use SaaS, which are double the rates found in 2004. Adoption of SaaS was spurred by cost factors and ease of use, said respondents to the report. Moreover, businesses are requiring software solutions that are easy to implement and maintain. The lack of infrastructure costs enabled by a SaaS solution was also cited as a benefit. According to an IDG news service, Novell Vice President Miguel Diacaza publicly decried his company's patent licensing deal with Microsoft at Redmond's MIX08 conference last week in Vegas. IDG reported that Diacaza was saying at the panel, which also included representatives from Microsoft, Zend, and Mozilla, quote, "I'm not happy about the fact that such an agreement was made, but the decision was above my pay grade. I think we should have stayed with the open source community," end quote. The statement came as part of a discussion on how the patent licensing agreement will work with Novell's port of Silverlight to Linux, called Moonlight. At the same panel, Diacaza did jump to Novell's defense about signing the agreement in response to comments from Mozilla by pointing out that Novell wasn't the only one to sign, and that many tech companies have patent licensing agreements with other tech companies such as IBM. Novell signed its patent protection deal with Microsoft in November 2006. Last week, it's also been reported that Novell will continue its suit against Microsoft regarding a WordPerfect issue. More on that in next week's podcast. In the meantime, Novell has released a beta version of a new development tool called MonoDevelop 1.0. The beta includes a .NET 3.5 framework preview and a Mono migration analysis tool to determine one's readiness to migrate to .NET. MonoDevelop 1.0 supports Visual Studio project formats, as well as C# and other programming languages. Developers can create ASP.NET web applications on Linux and Mac OS X using MonoDevelop. Mono is an open-source development solution that allows Unix developers to create cross-platform .NET applications. Mono supports Linux, Mac OS X, Sun Solaris, BSD, and Microsoft Windows operating systems, as well as a broad array of architectures, including x86, x86-64, IA64, Spark, and others. In the second segment of this newscast, we talked about Bill Gates' plea in the front of the Congress to make improvements in technology education spending. Well, Gates' data seems to be in line with a study by a computing research organization, which said that enrollments and degrees at U.S.-based computer science departments dropped further in 2006 and 2007. The nonprofit Computing Research Association has done survey work on computer science degrees since 1974, tracking enrollment trends among 170 PhD-granting schools. According to the CRA, after 7 years of decline, the number of new CS majors in fall 2007 was half of what it was in fall 2000, 15,958 versus 7,915, respectively. According to a preview report from CRA, the sustained drop in total enrollments and student interest in CS as a major suggests that degree production numbers will continue to drop in the next few years. However, the report also noted the number of new majors increased slightly in 2007, which means that the downward spiral may actually be starting to flatten. This drastic drop in degree production among CS departments mirrors what happened during the late 1980s, according to CRA. IBM last week described a new secure mashup technology for the enterprise that is designed to make it easier for non-technical users to create web applications from multiple sources. Codenamed Smash, it's designed to create situational applications using websites, enterprise databases, or emails. In addition, IBM plans to contribute the Smash technology to the Open Ajax Alliance, a coalition of vendors and open source organizations that focus on Ajax interoperability issues to enable dynamic web applications. IBM itself is a founding member of that alliance. IBM also plans to integrate its Smash technology into a commercial version called IBM Lotus Mashups. The Lotus Mashups product is expected to appear sometime this summer. IBM identifies a key security issue with mashups as keeping code and data from each of the sources separated. The company suggests that the sharing of the data should be controlled using a secure communication channel. And in our final item, a gathering of chief technology officers from the country's leading software companies is urging Congress to fully fund $3.26 billion in initiatives that industry sees as critical in the president's fiscal 2009 budget. In addition to funding programs including the Patent and Trademark Office and Homeland Security Department's National Cybersecurity Division, the CTOs in a joint business software alliance letter sent to Senate leaders called for passage of patent reform legislation and information technology security bills. Top 2009 funding priorities for the CTOs include $2.1 billion to fund PTO to provide patent quality and reduce the time needed to examine applications. Faster, more thorough investigations would provide better protection to both patent holders and industry as a whole, according to the CTOs. $430 million to fund the Commerce Department's International Trade Administration. $293.5 million for the National Cybersecurity Division for further deployment of the Einstein system on federal networks. $438 million to fund increased FBI IT security and program enhancements. In addition to fully funding PTO, the CTOs would also like to see the patent laws reformed. The last major revision of U.S. patent laws was in the 1950s, and they complained that outdated laws allow holders of questionable patents to abuse them by filing infringement lawsuits against companies using the technology. Those CTOs claimed that this inhibits both the development and commercialization of new technology, and they urged action on the Patent Reform Act, which has been passed by the Judiciary Committee. They also urged House passage of the Identity Theft Enforcement and Restitution Act, which was passed by the Senate in November. It would amend the U.S. Code to enable increased federal prosecution of ID theft. Data security and data breach laws are also critical, they said. And that's news from The Wire and this week's episode of Redmond Radio. As usual, before we end this thing, I'd like to remind faithful Redmond Radio listeners, as we do every week, that you can win a Redmond t-shirt in my weekly giveaway. To enter, just send me an email with a new t-shirt giveaway phrase, I want a t-shirt, on the subject line of your message, to mdomingo@1105media.com. That's mdomingo at 1105media.com. And note the phrase is, I want a t-shirt, not Redmond t-shirt, as it has been in the past. Entries not sporting the new phrase will be ignored. This week's winner is Brad B. Thanks to Brad B. for listening, and good luck to everyone else the next week. That's it for this episode of Redmond Radio. I'm Michael Domingo. I'd like to thank Citrix for their sponsorship of this program, and I also once again want to thank all you listeners who continue to support Redmond Radio by streaming and downloading this program. See you here next week.